feel the world is broken? Do you feel the shadows deepen? Do you know that all the dark won't stop the light from getting through? Do you wish that you could see it all made new?
Church, hope y'all are doing well today. Thank y'all so much last night. For those of y'all who came out to our chili cook-off, and we had a great time. And I think everybody enjoyed several bowls of chili. And I know our judges did, and they had a, I think they were in a chili coma for a little bit, but they're surviving. I seen two of the three. I don't know what happened to our veteran. So, but hey, let's just go to the Lord in prayer as we get started this morning. Heavenly Father, we just give you praise, and we thank you that we can gather together here and worship you. God, you are gracious, and you are holy. You are loving and just, God. And God, we thank you that you dwell with us in this place. God, we ask your blessings upon this service, God, that you would be glorified. Father, that you would be worshiped. And Father, that, Lord, that we would lay aside the distractions in our life. Father, that we could focus and hear on your word. God, thank you for each and every person here today. And Lord, we just continue to pray for those this past week and past couple weeks, just with tragedies and hardships that are going on in our country, with personal friends and family. God, that you would bring comfort and healing to those in need. God, thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. God, we thank you that he rose again. And we stand here in victory today because of him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. All right.
Well, if you weren't here last night to enjoy the chili, it was wonderful. I enjoyed it several times throughout the evening. Anyway, if you would, stand now and join us as we sing At the Cross, and we're going to do all five verses. And the
Good morning, church. As we open up our bulletins here this morning, and we pray for our missionary, Matthew Fisher, we want to pray that the Lord just continues to use him in a mighty way to share the gospel among the nations. And so if you get a chance, read about Matthew and what the Lord is doing through him. And so let's go ahead and also pray for our Moldova missionaries as we take this moment of prayer and pray for these missionaries. Lord, we thank you that we get the opportunity to pray for our brother and sisters in Christ. God, we thank you for the work that Matthew is doing, and Lord, the church planting that he is doing amongst the American people affinity groups. And Lord, we just pray you continue to use him in a mighty way. Lord, that you would strengthen him day in and day out. God, help send volunteers and to help him in times of need. God, we pray that you would use him to raise up mighty disciples who follow after you. And Lord, we continue to pray for our Moldova missionaries. God, we pray for small teams to come and visit them and help them in the labor that they are doing. God, helping them to plant new churches, to share the gospel with people amongst the area they live in. Lord, we praise you for those who are faithful to attend and are able to just continue to learn and grow and to make disciples with one another. God, I pray that this would motivate us here in the States, Lord, to share our faith with others, not to allow fear to hold us, but Lord, that we would go forth in faith and trust you. Thank you for the work you're doing around the world and in the States today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So don't forget, offering, if you have an offering, you can drop it off here in the front before you leave, or you can give online. Also, don't forget to follow us on YouVersion. If you haven't done that yet, you can scan this QR code behind us. Use your phone's camera. If you need help with that, we have students who can show you how to access your camera on your phone, or Bobby's good at that too. So also, if we also are needing volunteers, we need volunteers to help us with the ministries that we have going on. And Miss Brittany is going to share more with that later on ways that you can help serve. So I forgot to mention this earlier with the chili. We had a little over, I think it was $755 raised. Probably, you know, it's a ballpark number. And so just thank you again so much for all the donations that were given to that, as we will look to make sure that's divided amongst our youth and our Central Kid campers. But if, don't forget, we got our children's bulletins over here on the corner. Don't forget to pick those up. Also, if you brought a guest this morning, make sure they get a gift bag as well. I thought about putting the leftover hot dogs in there so that you had a little sack lunch too, but I was told probably not a good idea. But if you would like some hot dogs, we have about 75 hot dogs that are in the fridge that we could bag up for you, and you could have free lunch. All right? Have a hot dog and a free lunch. So be thinking about that, because I'm sure you're probably thinking about lunch. But other than that, let's get together and continue in worship. And Brother Mike?
I'm sure they wouldn't deny you to make a donation too for the youth if you went back and got a hot dog. You all sounded good on that last song. It's easier to sing a song if you know it, isn't it? I'll come up with some every now and then that people look at me kind of funny. Anyway, take your hymnals now, and you can sit on this one. But we're going to sing Grace Greater Than Our Sin, hymn 329. Miss Julie? Thank you. Children's Church, we'll be gathering over here on the piano side during this next song. And if you would stand with us now, and if you had your books open, you just look at the other page. We're going to sing Amazing Grace, hymn 330. We're looking forward to what God is on your heart, Mr. Brother Matt. We're looking forward to him bringing our message this morning. Amazing Grace, 330.
If you have your Bibles, open to the book of Romans with me. And so this message is familiar to our students, and so I wanted to share it with you all as well. I thought about introducing it the way I introduced it to the students, but probably shouldn't. I don't want to get too many people worked up. But I thank y'all for the blessings y'all have been to my family and I. And, you know, just the opportunity to preach is always a joy. And so as you open up to the book of Romans, chapter 6, we're going to be in verses 11 through 23. Go ahead and stand when you got it. And we're just going to read the first verse. So you too consider yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we come before you today. God, we confess that, Lord, we fall short every single day of your glory. God, we sin. God, we even deceive ourselves into thinking that perhaps we don't sin. But God, we know that your word is true, and it tells us that we are in need of you each and every day. And God, but at the same time, we should understand that if we are in Christ, if we put our faith in Christ, that we have a new beginning, a new start. We have a new life. We are a new creation. So Father, I pray that if there's believers here today who are struggling with a specific or certain sin in their life, that Lord, it's had a stronghold on them. God, I pray this would be an encouragement to them, that it does not have to remain that way. God, I pray, Lord, that if there is someone here today who has not put their faith in Christ, that, Lord, they would decide to turn from their sin and call out to you for salvation. God, I pray you would work on our hearts and help us. And, Lord, draw us close to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So this message in Romans 6, as in the youth, we are still going through the book of Romans, but we're kind of breaking it up a little bit because it was probably a lot, you know, the first five books and, you know, going through. And so students asked, are we going to keep going through the book of Romans? I said, well, yeah, we are. But we may take a couple breaks here in between this new year. And so we finished up Romans chapter 6 a couple weeks ago. But Romans chapter 6, perhaps in your Bible, it's kind of above the main number. It probably has a title, something to the extent of New Life in Christ. And then it's probably a few verses down between 14 and 15. You may see another title there, From Slaves to Sin to Slaves of God. We're going to talk about some of that today. But we see that we have been called to righteousness. We have been called to live a life of righteousness and to be like Jesus. And so, if you would, go back to the outline of Romans. I don't know if you can see it here on behind me. But you see in the first chapter of Romans, Paul is talking about condemnation and how we have been condemned. We have fallen short. We have sinned. For some, sin has become a lifestyle in such a way that they have rejected God's truth, and God has handed them over to their sin. That is a bad place to be in. And then we talked about in the youth about justification. Chapters 3, 21 through 5. You are justified when you put your faith in Christ. You've been declared righteous, just as if you never sinned before, that you have been forgiven and God now sees you as he sees his son. You are his child. And so we are now in the sanctification, talking about what that means and what that looks like, that you are being saved from the penalty of sin and that you are, from the power of sin, and that you are growing and walking and hoping to desire to be like Christ in all that you do. And then eventually we're going to get to glorification, and that when we are glorified, that will be when we enter glory, and that we will no longer have a sinful nature, but we will be holy and righteous and perfect, just like Jesus. And that is what we look forward to and we strive for. But we've been called to live a righteous life here on this earth because we are followers of Christ if we put our faith in him. We've been called to walk by the Spirit, a call to pursue holiness. As you remember, in 1 Peter, it says, God tells us to be holy as he is holy. John the Baptist said in John 3:30 that he, Jesus, must increase and we must decrease. Everything about us should be more and look like more of who Jesus is. It's a call to be less like you and more like Jesus. It's a call that is not easy. It involves a road of mercy, grace, and humility. It's a call we can't achieve. So if we can't achieve righteousness on our own, why even try? Well, because God's called us to this type of life as Christians. It's a calling he's placed on our life to live and be like Christ. Because he made a way for us through Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God in 2 Corinthians 5:21. It's not by our own doing, but it's through Christ. Paul shows us this in Romans 6, verses 11 through 23, that not only is a Christian alive to God, but also a slave to him as well. I want to encourage you in three ways that we're going to see in this passage, how we see Paul encourage us to live our lives in Christ. And so we're going to break it down with three points, and each point has a sub-point underneath it you'll see here on the screen. But the first point is this, is that in this new life in Christ, we should live grounded in your identity in Christ, in verses 11 through 14. And so look at verse 11 with me again. So you, to consider yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. You are dead to sin, Scripture says. What does that mean? Think about it. When you were baptized, perhaps you remember the pastor saying something to the effect of, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, buried with Christ, but raised to walk in a new life. That buried with Christ is that you are dead to sin. You are alive now. You are no longer, your identity is not to be a sinner, but your identity is now in Christ. You've been forgiven. Yes, we continue to sin, but we fall short. But that's where God's grace and mercy steps in. But we struggle with sin because we're so used to living a defeated life as a Christ follower. Think if we woke up each day realizing sin has no power over us, how faithfully and boldly we might live to the Lord. So recently, I just joined a club. It's a club of those who wear glasses. And so, you know, in my young, old age, you know, whether you want to label that, you know, I would drive at night and I would squint my eyes because the lights were kind of straining my eyes a little bit. And, you know, for probably a couple years now, Joanna's been telling me, go see an eye doctor. You know, I'd watch the baseball game, try to squint to see the score. Go see an eye doctor. Like, no, I'm fine. I don't need that. You know, I could read fine, but for whatever reason, the lights were affecting me. But think about this. Each morning you wake up, what do? You get up, you put your glasses on, don't you? So that you could see clearly. And so think about that. If each day as a believer, if we would wake up and we would put on and understand our identity in Christ, we would walk in life a little bit more clearly, wouldn't we? You see, I could see those numbers on that clock a lot clearer now, but if I take these off, things get blurred. If we take our eyes off the Lord, things get blurry. If we put our eyes and focus on our sin, things get blurry because what? We become so focused on ourselves that we forget the victory we have in Christ. And daily we got to wake up and we got to remember the victory we have in Christ. We got to put on that new creation that we are in Christ each and every day. See, bad habits must be broken. In some cases, we must get help from others. We should never battle sin alone. When we battle sin alone, the devil has us right where he wants us. Our thinking tends to be, I got myself into this mess, I can get myself out. Man, that is a lie from the devil himself, isn't it? You can't get yourself out. You need accountability. You need brothers and sisters in battle to help you. Not one of us can battle sin by ourselves. That's why when Jesus died on the cross, he died so that we could have victory over sin through him, but that we would come alongside one another and encourage one another in our walk, accountability, helping one another. Remember, you did not defeat sin, but Jesus did. The second subpoint of this, I want you to see in verse 12. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its desires. Do not let sin reign. Perhaps we all been there at some time in our life where we have allowed our bodies to determine what we want and to the point of thinking, this is what I need. When we have this idea of sin as something that we need, then we're in this bondage. We're being held down. You remember in Genesis when, you know, Cain kills Abel? What did God say to Cain? You must, before that happened, he said, Cain, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to master over you. It's desires for you, but you must master over it. God gives them a warning, right? But we ignore those warnings day in and day out because we think, I can do this on my own. And we need the help of brothers and sisters in Christ. Think about it. The row you're sitting in that pew, not one person has been able to say, I defeated sin by myself. Not one person in this room can claim that. We overcome through Christ, and we have the help of others to help us. Paul shows us two things. That one, we are mortal. We are going to die, right? Second, we are sinful. Even though these two things are true of us, it doesn't mean that we have to act as such. If we are in Christ, our identity is in him, not sin. Our sinful nature should not dictate how we behave. Far too often, it tends to be the case. Being in Christ, we can choose to act like Christ and not ourselves. This is the indwelling of the power of the Holy Spirit in us. This is why Paul tells us in Galatians to walk by the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. 1 Peter 1:3 tells us that His divine power has given us everything required for our life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Everything required for this Christian life He has given us, Scripture tells us. And we learn what those things are. How? Through the knowledge of Him, through growing and understanding and walking in our faith, in our relationship with the Lord. The third sub-point is this, that you must give yourself to God daily. Look at verse 13. And do not offer any parts of it, talking about your mortal body, to sin as weapons of unrighteousness, but as those who are alive from the dead, offer yourselves to God, all the parts of yourselves to God, as weapons for righteousness. Living in identity in Christ is a daily surrender to our desires. I may desire to say something awful to that person who cut me off, or I may desire to say something to my coworker who's really gotten on my nerves, or even my boss, or even the person sitting behind me or three rows back at church. We got to die to those desires, Scripture says, and that you have died to those things if you are in Christ. Instead of using our parts of the body for sin as weapons of righteousness, use it for righteousness, right? Stop lying. Stop looking at things that cause you to lust. Stop listening to things that cause you to put yourself in a place that you don't need to be in, mind-wise. Stop spreading lies. Stop gossiping. Use what God's giving you for His glory, to encourage, uplift, to show the love of Christ. We are challenged to do the opposite, right? To live out righteousness in how we behave, in the things we say. Romans 12, 1 through 2 tells us that, Paul says, therefore, brothers and sisters, in view of the mercies of God, I urge you, he's pleading, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to who? To God. How you behave, how you act, how you live your life is an act of worship to the Father. Do not be conformed to this age, but he says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may discern what is good. You see, even though we may have this sinful nature, we can discern what is good and bad because of what Christ has done in our lives. We understand the things that we do may not always bring glory to God, but that doesn't mean we have to keep continuing those things. Desire to live in a way that is, man, maybe I need to stop watching these shows or listening to this music. You know, what is it you have to sacrifice in order to live a righteous life? To live righteously, it requires sacrifice. Jesus had to die on the cross in order for us to receive the righteousness of God. Look at verse 14. For sin will not rule over you, because you are not under the law, but under grace. Remember, back in Romans 2, Paul showed us how the law holds us guilty of our sin because we broke it. And we can't live up to the standard that it demands. Only Jesus did that. We put our faith in Jesus, and we are justified as in chapter 4. We are under grace, not condemnation now, those who are in Christ. Through Jesus, you live under grace by receiving the Holy Spirit to help you overcome temptation. That's the grace factor that plays into this. You and I, we don't deserve the Holy Spirit, but it's part of the gift that we've graciously have been received when we are justified by faith. It's that first part of the inheritance Paul talks about in Ephesians 1. The Holy Spirit is part that equips us. It's part of that having that everything that God has given us for a life of godliness. The second point is this. In verses 15 through 19, we are to live as a slave to righteousness instead of sin. Verse 15 says, what then? Should we sin because we are not under law but under grace? Absolutely not. You know, also in chapter 6, verse 1, Paul asks a similar question. What then should we say? Should we continue to sin so that grace may multiply? You see, there's this thought that Paul was writing to there in the Roman church that, you know, if I continue to sin, well, that means God's going to be glorified even more because people are going to see His grace even more. I sin more, God forgives more. No, that's not how it works. We don't sin in order for grace to be multiplied. God's grace is not to be taken advantage of, and it can't be. God understands when a person has truly repented and has sought forgiveness. We're not going to fool him. But we do not continue to sin so that grace may multiply. And Paul says, should we sin because, well, we're not under law but under grace? Because we've been forgiven, does that mean we can just do what we want? What's he say? Absolutely not. Think about that. We don't have a license to sin, but quite the opposite. We have a license to live righteously. Grace is not a license to sin. We don't get a free pass. Grace should motivate us to not sin. And because of God's love, we should want to walk in his ways. The second subpoint of that is that you are slaves to whom you obey. Our life should consist of a daily spiritual checkup. Daily, we should be asking the Lord, God, where am I at with you today? What did I do yesterday that was not honoring to you? Lord, what do I need to put in place today that I don't do that again today? You know, did I spend time with you, Lord? You know, Lord, show me in my heart what needs to change. Understand that what I do today reflects on who I am listening to and what I am following. This is a battle between the flesh and the spirit, right? We must strive to walk in obedience to the Lord, but in order to do that, we need to understand and be in God's word as well. Because in doing so, we then become kingdom-minded. And if our mind is focused on what God's kingdom is and seeking it first, right, in Matthew 6, then we're going to desire to want to live out a righteous and holy life before the Lord. So, you are slaves to whom you obey. Are you going to be a slave to sin or a slave to God? It's either one or the other. The third subpoint of point two is this. A transition from slavery to freedom took place in verses 17 through 18. But thank God, although you used to be slaves of sin, you obeyed from the heart that pattern of teaching you were transferred to. And having been liberated from sin, you became enslaved to righteousness. This is the new creation that takes place in the believer's life, right? Paul talks about this, that you are now in Christ. You are dead to sin. And so the new life, this gospel transformation, takes place. If you were to look at in Colossians chapter 1, verses 21 through 23, we see a list of things that Paul lays out of what we once were, or what we are to be. Once you were alienated and hostile in your minds, as expressed in your evil actions. But now Jesus has reconciled you by his physical body through his death to present you holy, faultless, and blameless before him. That's justification. You've been justified. If indeed you remain grounded and steadfast in the faith, meaning you are growing in sanctification, you remain steadfast and growing in the faith, and not shifted away from the hope of the gospel that you heard, this gospel has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and I, Paul, have become a servant of it. We are called to a life of righteousness. We are called to live a life of service to the Lord. We see in the point D is to live differently, live in freedom. Verse 19. I am using a human analogy because of the weakness of your flesh, Paul says. For just as you offered the parts of yourselves as slaves to moral impurity and greater lawlessness, so now offer them as slaves to righteousness, which results in sanctification. Paul isn't condoning slavery. He's using this analogy to help us understand where we are at. To help us understand our life in relation to our bondage to sin or freedom in Christ. If you have not put your faith in Christ, then you are still a slave to sin. And it's going to take you places you never intended to go. And it's going to mess up relationships that you didn't think were ever going to be messed up. For those of us in Christ, we could probably testify to some of that. Things that we've done, said, or how we treated others. right? Paul says, stop using your body to do sinful things. What's some of those things that we've done? Paul says in Colossians chapter 3, verses 5 through 11, right? He says, therefore, put to death what belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desire, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of God's wrath is coming upon the disobedient. And you once walked in these things when you were living in them. Before Christ, this is what you were living in. You were living in sin, in bondage. But now put away all the following: anger, wrath, malice, slander, filthy language. You know, if that first list doesn't get you, the second one does. And so it's one of those things that, you know, we could easily say, you know what? I've been faithful to my wife. I've been faithful to my husband. I don't look at another person lustfully. Ooh, anger. We could probably all work on that in a little bit. Wrath, malice, slander, filthy language. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self. You are being renewed in knowledge according to the image of your Creator. You're created in the image of God, and you're being renewed daily as you continue to grow in that knowledge of who He is. In Christ, there is no Greek and Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, a slave or free, but Christ is all and in all. Then if you were to go down a few verses, and you were to look at chapter 3 in Colossians, verses 12 through 17, he says this, therefore, God's chosen ones, holy and loved. If you're in Christ, you are God's chosen. You are holy and you are loved. This is your identity in Christ. Put on heartfelt compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Oh, these things sound familiar, don't they? Part of the fruit of the Spirit. Accepting one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a plaint against another, just as the Lord has forgiven you, you, what's that say? Must also forgive. You have to forgive because it's what brings reconciliation. It brings peace. As God's people, we are to live in peace with one another. We are to strive to live in peace with one another. Forgiveness is important because we've been forgiven. He goes on to say, above all, put on love, the perfect bond of unity, and let the peace of the Messiah, to which you were also called in one body, control your hearts. Be thankful. Let the message about the Messiah dwell richly among you, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, and singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. Man, this is the gathering of the body of the believers. The church gathering and praising God together for what He has done, how He's forgiven them, how He's brought reconciliation. And so, and whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. So we see what we are to put off. We see what we are to put on in Colossians. And these things are important for us. And maybe you take the next week and you just read Colossians 3, verses 1 through 17 each morning to be a reminder to you, this is what I'm to put off. This is what I'm to put on. And so, you know, praying and asking God, help me. Maybe you got several things on the list that Paul's mentioned. Focus on one. Maybe it's anger. God, help me this week in my anger. Help me be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to be angry. Asking God to not bring anger up out of you, but to bring peace, patience, kindness to those around you. The third point is this. Live serving one master, and that master is Jesus. Look at verses 20 through 23 with me. 20 through 21 says, let me get back to Romans. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free from allegiance to righteousness. So that fruit was produced then from the things that you were now ashamed of. Man, I bet we're all ashamed of those things that we could, you know, list when it comes to our sin. You see, when we just read what those actions were in Colossians 3, 5 through 11, none of those things should make us proud, right? No one, you know, comes up in front of us saying, hey, guess what I did? I lied to 5 people today. No one does that. Why? It's nothing to be proud of. Our culture today, though, praises sexual immorality, promotes lust, encourages us to follow idols, to use and listen to language so that you can become numb to, right? It's easy to allow sin to master us as Christians. That's why we often let it, because it's too hard to battle against the flesh. It's easy to go with sin than to battle against sin. But the battle is well worth it. This is why Paul said, he used the slave analogy, right? Because of the weakness of your flesh, you need to understand that of the importance of walking with Christ daily. But praise God, right? It doesn't have to be this way. And there is hope in Jesus. Remember in 2 Corinthians 12, 9, he says, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is perfected in your weakness. In your weakest moments, that's where God's power steps in and helps you to say no to anger, say no to lustful thoughts, say no to whatever it is, fill in the blank. Maybe it's identity. Maybe it's struggling with feeling incompetent. I'm not good enough. He says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is perfected in weakness. Therefore, when I am weak, Paul says, I will most gladly boast all the more about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may reside in me. When I lose sight of myself and I put my focus on Christ, I now have the opportunity to glorify God in all that I do. Because I'm not so focused on my weaknesses, but I'm focused on the power that God has given me to overcome. And so, in verse 22, Jesus as a master leads to becoming like him, which is sanctification. He goes on to say, but now since you've been liberated from sin, you've been free from sin and have become enslaved to God, you have your fruit which results in sanctification. And the end is eternal life. You've been liberated. You've been set free, believer. Brother and sister in Christ, freedom is already available to you. You just have to surrender to the Lord. It's not easy, but it's worth it. It requires us, right, to confess that we have a problem, to confess that we are broken, to confess that we're messed up. But this is part of becoming like Christ, right? Like John said, that I would decrease, that he would increase. See, Jesus never had to confess sin, but he did have to walk in obedience to the Father's will. And we have been called to do the same as Jesus. And this is the sanctification process of growing and becoming like Christ. Becoming more like Jesus should be our heart's desire more than anything. He is who we strive to be like, we idolize. We love like him. We treat others as he treats us. And the end result in sanctification, we're not earning our salvation, but it is that eternal life that we look forward to and we're promised because we are in Christ. In verse 23, I'm sure many of you have memorized this verse, right? For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. This verse is pretty simple. Right? Not just physical, but spiritual death is what has taken place when we are in sin, before we know Christ. Eternity separated from God in hell is what's waiting the person who doesn't put their faith in Christ. Or eternity with Jesus through the forgiveness of sins for those who are in Christ. Having the opportunity to live a life of righteousness is hard. It's difficult. It's not easy, right? You've heard it before. God never says life is going to be easy, but there will be suffering in this world. There will be hardships. We all have someone that we know who has gone through struggle and suffering, and is in the place, Lord, I'm ready to go, bring me home. But God's grace is sufficient in that moment. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12:9, remember, that Christ's power may reside in him, right? So that he could live like Christ. The power comes from the Holy Spirit that dwells each and every believer. You can walk in victory today over sin. As we close, I hope, as I said earlier, this would be a new start for you, believer. That brother and sister in Christ, that if you are struggling with sin, talk to someone, myself, Pastor Jim. You know, seek out help. Maybe you need to see a counselor. That's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. The reality is that all of us here have sinned. And it's no secret that at some point, everyone in here will die. 100 years from now, none of us will be here. Be someone else sitting in these pews. Think about that. It's kind of a sobering thought. What are you living your life for? Are you living it slave to sin or slave to righteousness? What legacy do you want to leave behind? They lived a life that was devoted to Christ. Those alive in Christ can rest assured that they have a life with him in eternity. And I encourage you, if you're, as I said, you're struggling, there is forgiveness and there's freedom, right? James 5:16 tells us, therefore confess your sins to one another, pray for one another so that you may be healed. Healing from the effects of sin in your life, the damage that it has done to you that you may not even realize. Perhaps some of those things happened to you when you were a child. And perhaps you're even acting out of those things that happened when you were a child that you don't even realize today. Well, you know, I don't want to visit those things. Experience the healing from those things. No one in here has a right to cast stones. No one in here has a right to say, well, they did something worse than me. We've all sinned. We've all fallen short. Healing comes through confession, Scripture shows us. So if there's something that you need to confess to the Lord today, before we close, maybe you need to come to the altar and do it. You don't have to. You can do it where you are. The Lord knows your heart. Maybe you need to go to a brother and sister in Christ and say, hey, I'm sorry. That's okay. I also want to give you an opportunity, if you've never confessed Jesus as your Lord and Savior, in a few minutes when we give our invitation, this will be a time for you to do that. You know, reject sin as your master and follow Jesus. Paul says in Romans 10, 9 through 10, we do this actually by confession. Confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead and you will be saved. One believes with the heart resulting in righteousness and one confesses with the mouth resulting in salvation. It's part of what God's plan. Confession. Live a life dead to sin and alive to God in Christ. Walk in the victory of Jesus. Let Jesus be your master. One pastor said this, remember the superior benefits of serving God over sin. God is a God of grace and mercy, one who restores and brings forgiveness, redemption, healing. Sin brings shame and guilt, a life of bondage and chains. Who do you want to serve? Our thoughts, actions, and motives are all important as we seek to live a life and becoming more like Jesus in all we do. I encourage you. Romans 6 is a beautiful picture of what it looks like to be dead in sin, to be alive in Christ, to understand our identity and what it means to walk in freedom. As Americans, we love freedom, right? But the reality is, we're either serving God or we're serving sin. And so, walk in the freedom that Christ has given you over sin. Let's pray. Lord, as we come to a close this morning, God, I pray that you are glorified in this service. God, I pray that you would help us to see the sin in our life, that we would not allow it to master over us, but Lord, that we would say no, and we would desire to do what is right in your eyes, and not our own. God, let us not believe the lies that we can do this on our own. We need the help of others. We need brothers and sisters in Christ who will come alongside of us with compassion, not judgment or guilt, to guilt us or to shame us, but God, to help us. I know there's people in this room who are hurting. Sin has taken them down paths that they didn't ever want to go. Lord, I know I've been there. Lord, I know all of us in one place or another have cried out for help. God, I pray that if those haven't cried out for help or in need of Christ, God, I pray they would do that today. God, they would turn their life over to you. They would pray for forgiveness of their sins and put their faith in Jesus as their Lord and Savior. God, what greater testimony than to know that a person has been set free today. God, I pray for my brothers and sisters in Christ. God, help us to not be prideful, but to be humble and to say, hey, I need help. Help me to walk in freedom. Help me to walk in Christ. God, that we would be there for one another as family, as brothers and sisters in Christ, to bring you glory in all that we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Stand with us, please. Hymn 275.
Good morning. Just a couple quick things. First, Constitution and Bylaws Committee, this is a reminder that we are meeting on Thursday at 6 in the conference room. Second, we are beginning to work on and prepare for VBS. So next week, the 9th, we will be meeting at 2:30 in the Fellowship Hall to discuss with teachers some things about this year's VBS. If you don't want to teach a class or you don't want to do rec or anything like that, please come. We have several other opportunities that you can serve during the week of VBS, and we would love to have you with us. Thank you.
Had a couple things too. Also, we got a cruise-in meeting. Those of you who are helping out with the cruise-in fundraiser, meet this afternoon at 2:00 in the Fellowship Hall. Also, CentraKid deposits. We need to get those in. Right now, we have more signed up than spots that we have allotted to us. And so we are on a waiting list. And so I'd encourage you to get, you know, those deposits in, you know, first come, first serve. So, you know, you get a deposit in, you're locked in. Also, youth deposits are still due for $100, a deposit for that. And I forgot to mention this, and hopefully he'll forgive me, but our chili cook-off champion was Mr. Tony Rogers. So Just so y'all know, he's back to back. And so he's got the chief mindset of making it three in a row, right? So, but thank y'all again for that. And if you got any questions about the CentraKid stuff, let me know. I did request some more on a waiting list. They seem pretty confident of getting those spots, but we also got to make sure we have at least three chaperone spots with what we do have slotted. So thank you.
Thank you, Matt. Thank you, Brittany. Just a couple of prayer concerns, you know, for this week. Brian Tate, he's having surgery on his foot, so if you'll, you know, pray, you know, for everyone that's working on him and good recovery for him. Kay Williams, some improvement, but just dealing with a lot of pain. Matt's friend Daniel, he's not doing so well. He's ready to go home, and family is there with him, and they know. So there's been, you know, of course, a few losses, you know, here and within close families to the church. Of course, you know, keep the Stevenson family, you know, in your prayers still. The Heist family with their loss of their little son. We got some families traveling, you know, of course, you know, Pastor Jim, he's on his way back from Florida. Of course, Matt, you know, hit the Century Kid and the, you know, the crew's in, so just keep those in your prayers and make sure that we're here for those meetings also. Is there any other prayer concerns or requests? Doesn't look like it, so let's close this out in prayer. Dear Lord, you know, we come to you today, you know, knowing that we are nowhere where we should be. You know, we look to you for guidance. Please forgive us where we fail you. God, we love you. Just watch over us as we go throughout the day, throughout the week. Let's place you first in our lives. In your name we pray. Amen.